B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Mem Aleph. We're going to start from the Mishnah, 14 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Omad Beis. Says the Mishnah, Ein noisnin kemach l'toich charoises. Charoises, which was a mixture of different ingredients, often used on Seder night. We're going to learn about that later on in the Masechta. And one of the ingredients in the charoises happens to be vinegar, which made it sharp. One should not put flour into charoises. Oilatoich hachardel, nor should one put flour into mustard. Again, these are sharp ingredients, and they will make the flour become chometz quickly. Ve'im nosan, and if he did put the flour into either, well, we'll soon see in the Gemara, but it seems that if you put the flour into either charoises or the chardel, yoichal miyad, then he should eat them immediately before it can become chometz. Reb Meir Oyser, Reb Meir says, no, you're not allowed to eat it, there's a chance it's already become chometz, and we'll see in the Gemara, he says you have to burn it. Now whether the imnosan yoichal miyad, if when the Chachomim say you are allowed to eat it, whether that goes also on charoises or just on chardel, is a discussion we're going to have in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah, Ein mevashlin es ha-pesach, one's not allowed to cook the korban pesach, loy b'mashkin, not with any liquids or fruit juices, aval sochin, but whilst one was roasting the korban pesach, then one was allowed to smear some other liquid on it, umadbilin oisoy, and whilst eating the korban pesach, one was allowed to dip it bohen into these different types of liquids. Continues the Mishnah. The bakers, and especially those that were making matzahs and didn't want their hands to get too warm, they would dip their hands into a vessel of cold water in order to keep their hands cool. And that water, yishafchi, should be spilt out and should not be consumed in any way, because they can become chometz. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar of Kahana, Machlekes, the machlekes we saw in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Reb Meir. If somebody did put flour into charoises or chardel, everybody agrees one should not put flour into charoises or into chardel. The charoises has vinegar, the chardel is mustard, is sharp in its own right. The question is, there was a machlekes then in the Mishnah, if somebody did put the water, the flour into these ingredients, is one allowed to eat it or not? The Tanakhama say, yoichal miyad, eat it immediately. Reb Meir says, it's osa. So Reb Kahana says, the whole machlekes is only regarding chardel, is only regarding mustard, that indeed it is sharp, and it could make it chometz quite quickly, and therefore those are machlekes, and the Chachomim say, eat it straight away. Reb Meir says, no. Avalatoich charoises, but if you put it into charoises where there's vinegar, divrei hakol yisarif miyad. According to everybody, even according to the Tanakhama, you have to burn it immediately because you're not allowed to eat it, it may have become chometz already, it's about to become chometz, and you're not allowed to eat it. That was Rav Kahana's opinion. Tanin Amihochi, in the Braisa we saw this as well, Ein noisnin kemach l'toicha charoises, one's not allowed to put flour into charoises, ve'im nosan, and if one did, yisarif miyad. And there's no machlekes here. Everybody says if you put flour into charoises, you have to burn it immediately. L'toicha chardel, if you put water into mustard, here's the machlekes. Reb Meir Oimer Yisarif Miyad. Reb Meir says that you burn it straight away, as we saw in our Mishnah. The Chachomim Oimer Yichal Miyad, and the Chachomim say you eat it immediately. So we have a Braisa saying the same thing as Rav Kahana. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Huna Breider of Yehuda, Omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel. It was said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha Kedivrei Chachomim. The halacha is like the chachomim. There was a machlekes, chachomim and Reb Meir, whether one's allowed to eat this sharp food item that flour had been put into, that the chachomim say, yoichal miyad, you can eat it, that's the halacha. Omelir Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, Rav Huna Breider of Yehuda. Rav Nachman by Yitzchok asked Rav Huna Breider of Yehuda that you said in the name of Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like the chachomim, and one is allowed to eat it straight away, acharoises ko'omar, where you what was said in the name of Shmuel, was it said also regarding charoises, that even there was a machlekes, Reb Meir and the Chachomim, and according to the Chachomim, you're allowed to eat the charesis even if you put flour in. And that's what Shmuel said, the halacha was like the chachomim there. A charesis ko'omar mar, and that would be not like Rav Kahana. Or a chardel ko'omar mar. Or did you only say regarding the mustard? Only regarding the mustard, there was a machlokes, like Rav Kahana said. And in that case, the halacha is like the chachomim. Omar le, lemay nafkemina. So Rav Huna Breda of Yehuda said to Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, what's the difference? What's the halachic difference whether I hold like Rav Kahana or I don't say like Rav Kahana? Or more accurately, what's the halachic difference if what I said was by charesis or if I said it with chardel? So says the Gemara, he answered him, L'der Rav Kahana. The question's going to be the halacha that Rav Kahana said, that if you only said it on chardel, then regarding charesis, even the chachomim say that you have to burn it straight away. If you don't hold like Rav Kahana, then in the case of chardel, then even in the case of charesis, then according to the chachomim, you would be allowed to eat it, even though you've put in flour. The Omer Rav Kahana machleikus l'toicha chardel, aval l'toicha charesis divir hakeli sarif miyad. The difference is going to be: are you arguing with Rav Kahana, or are you not arguing with Rav Kahana? Omer le. So he answered him back, Loi shemili, I didn't hear of what Rav Kahana said, and kloima, you know what that means, Loi severely, I don't hold of what Rav Kahana said, and even though we saw a brisa like Rav Kahana, this opinion, this Shmuel obviously holds that our Mishnah, that doesn't seem to say like Rav Kahana, because our Mishnah doesn't make that differentiation. Our Mishnah just says, Ein noisnin kemach l'teicha reises or l'teicha chardel, v'im nosan, and then brings the machleikus, and doesn't say the machleikus is only regarding chardel. Rav Kahana says that that's what he means, and brought a brisa to himself. But there's a good chance that the Mishnah doesn't agree with that, and therefore, lo severely, I don't hold of what Rav Kahana says, and according to the Chachomim, one is allowed to eat even the charesis if after flour was put into it. That's how Tosfos explains this. Omer Rav Ashi, Kavaseder Rav Kahana Mistabra. Rav Ashi actually says that it's probable, like Rav Kahana, Mid Omar Shmuel, Ein Alocha Rabbi Yosi. We saw already previously in the Gemara there's a machlekas, and Rabbi Yosi holds that if you have grains that have become swollen from water and have not yet become chometz, Rabbi Yosi says you can put them in, either you put vinegar onto them or you put them into vinegar, and that will make them contract and not become chometz. And Shmuel said Alocha is not like Rabbi Yosi, and you cannot rely on vinegar to be able to stop the fermentation, to stop it becoming chometz. My love, so if Shmuel said that locha was not like Rav Yosi, that means that vinegar has the same qualities as water. That semusehu delo itzomis, it also does not make the grains contract and stop becoming chometz. Hochemur mechama, and it's also like water makes flour ferment, so too vinegar will make the flour ferment. And since vinegar makes flour ferment, then it makes sense what Rav Kahana said, that in the case of charesis, where there's vinegar in it, in that case, even the chachomim will agree that it's probably chometz, or it's very likely to be chometz, and quickly become chometz, and one's not allowed to eat it. So as the Gemara Loi, you cannot bring proof from that Shmuel here held like Rav Kahana? No, because it could be Dilma, maybe Shmuel holds that vinegar is not exactly like water, and vinegar doesn't very quickly, or doesn't make something ferment and become chometz. Dilma loy mitzmas tzomis. Shmuel only said that vinegar does not have that property of making the grains contract and stopping them becoming chometz. V'loy chamua mechama. But maybe it's not like water that actually makes the flour ferment and become chometz. And therefore, it could be that Shmuel holds not like Rav Kahana, and even in the case of charesis, you're allowed to eat the charesis if you put water into it, even if you put flour into it. Continues the Gemara, Ein mevashlin v'chulu. We saw in the next part of the Mishnah says Ein mevashlin es haPesach. One's not allowed to cook the korban Pesach, loy b'mashkin v'loy b'mei peiros, not in fruit juices or any other liquids, etc. Tanu Rabbanon. And what does it actually say in the Torah? The Torah says, There's one posuk that says in the posuk in the Torah, "Va'ochlu es habosor b'laylo azeh." You should eat the flesh, the meat of the korban Pesach that night, the night of the 15th. Tzli eish, roasted on fire. U'matzis al merer meichlu. There's another posuk that says, "Al toichlu mimenu no." Do not eat the korban Pesach no, which is just partially roasted. Uvashel mevushel b'mayim, nor should you eat the korban Pesach when it's cooked in water. Ki'im tzli eish, rather you only eat the korban Pesach when it is roasted with fire. Roishel krov val kirboy. So the Gemara now says as follows: Tonu rabbonon, b'mayim. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to cook the korban Pesach. Uvashel mevushel b'mayim. You're not allowed to cook it in water. If you just read the Chumash, all you know is you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach with water. Shar mashkin minayin, other liquids, how do you know that the same Isser applies? Says the Gemara, Omris kal v'chomer, we make a kal v'chomer. Uma mayim, if with water, she'ein mafigin tamon, that there's no taste that the water takes out of the Korban Pesach, nor is there any taste that the water puts into the Korban Pesach. There's different mefarshim how to explain the word mefigin taimon, but that's what it means. They all agree that the water is not influencing the taste of the Korban Pesach. And nonetheless, asurin, one's not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in water, shar mashkin, but other fruit juices or any other juices, shemefigin tamon, that the taste of those juices affects the taste of the Korban Pesach, loy kolchkin, of course it should be osur. So we learn out from a kolchkin. Rebbe Oimer, Rebbe says, b'mayim, from the fact that the posuk says that you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in water, ein li elo mayim, I only know that to be true for water, shar mashkin minayin. How do I know that you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in other liquids as well? Talmud Loimar, Rebbe says, I learn it out from the double loshen, uvoshil, mevushil. The posuk could have said, al toichlu mimenu no, umevushil b'mayim. Don't eat it semi-roasted and don't cook it in water. Why does it say uvoshil mevushil, a double term? So we see from there, mikol mokim, any type of bishul, not only water. My binayu, what's the difference between the Tanakama and Rebbe if the sauce that you're not allowed to cook in other juices is because is from the kal v'chomer, that other juices, they take away the taste of the water, they take away the taste of the Korban Pesach, so it should be even worse than water, or whether you learn out like Rebbe that you're not allowed to cook it in anything? It says the Gemara, Ike binayu, tzli kador, that tzli kador is something that is roasted in a pot, which means it's not roasted just hanging over the fire, it's in a pot, and there's no water there, and there's no other juices there, but the juices of the Korban Pesach itself ooze out of the Korban Pesach, and then the meat of the Korban Pesach is being cooked in its own juices. So if you learn out from a kal v'chomer, then in the case where you don't have water and you don't have any other juices whose taste are going to influence the taste of the Korban Pesach, all you have is the Korban Pesach in its own juices, it would be mutter. However, according to Rebbe, who says that we learn it out from uvoshel mevushel, any type of bishel is osur, then even cooking it in its own juices will also be osur. Asks the Gemara of Rabbonon, hai uvoshel mevushel mai ovdilu. So the Rebbe learns from the double loshen, uvoshel mevushel, that any other liquids you're not allowed to cook the Korban Pesach in. But the Chachomim who learn that halacha from a kal v'chomer, what do they do with this double loshen? Answers the Gemara, miboyli l'kedetanya, they need it to learn out the following halacha. Bishlu v'achar kach tzoli, oy tzoli v'achar kach bishlu, chayiv. There's a chiyuv malchus. If you either first cook the Korban Pesach and then you roast it, or you first roast it and then you cook it. And where do we know that halacha from? We know these halachas from the uvoshel mevushel, that it doesn't matter when you cooked it, whenever you cooked it, you're chayiv. Says the Gemara, Bishlei, Mabishlei v'achar kach tzoloi chayiv. I can understand why if somebody first cooked the Korban Pesach and then roasted it, it should be chayiv. Da bishlei, because cooking something before being roasted has the status of being cooked. And the Pasuk says that uvoshel mevushel, that you're chayiv, you're not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach that's being cooked. Elo tzoloi v'acharkach bishli. But if you cook it after you've roasted it, hotzli eshu, it doesn't have the status of being cooked. When you cook something after it's been roasted, or baked for that matter, it's not called cooked, it's only called roasted or baked. So amai, why should he be chayiv? This is not called cooking. So it's very good you have a double term of voshel mevoshel, but that's on condition that it's called cooked. And this is not called cooked. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Kahana, Homani Rabbi Yosi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, who says that even after baking, it's possible for something to have the status of cooked. Titania, we learned in a brisa. Yotzin, one can be yotza the mitzvah of matzah, berakik, which is a wafer, a matzah, hashorui, that's been soaked, ubamavushal, or it's been cooked, shaloinim muach, as long as it hasn't been totally dissolved in the water, you can be yotza the mitzvah of matzah that way. Divrei Reb Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Rabbi Yosi argues and says, no, yotzin berakik hashorui, if you soak the matzah in water, then that's okay. If you cook the matzah in water, you're not yotza, even if it did not get dissolved. And obviously Rabbi Yosi holds that since you've cooked it, it's not called baked, it's called cooked, and you cannot be yotza with a cooked matzah. However, Rabbi Meir says it's not called cooked. Even if you cooked it, since it was baked before that, the status of the matzah is baked, not cooked. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says you can be yotza. Rabbi Yosi says that cooking after baking is called bishel. So too here, cooking after roasting is called cooking, and therefore is chayev. Ulo Omar Ulo says, no, afilu temer Rabbi Meir, that our brisa that says that you're chayev if you eat from the korban pesach that was cooked after it was roasted could even be according to Rabbi Meir. Even though Rabbi Meir says that if you cook a matzah, you can be yotza the mitzvah of matzah, it's not considered cooked. Nonetheless, over here with Korban Pesach is different. Shani hocha do amakro uvoshel mevushel mikol mokim. It says uvoshel mevushel any which way that it's cooked, even though that halachically it may not have the same status regarding making a matzah not be able to be used for the mitzvah of matzah, but and because it's cooking after being baked doesn't make the matzah called cooked. Nonetheless, you're doing a process of cooking, and with Korban Pesach we learn out from the extra word of voshel mevoshel, any process of cooking is also is going to be chayiv if you eat it. Tonu Rabbanon, yochel tzoloi kol tzorkon. What happens if somebody he roasted it kol tzorkon, which means all the way till the end? And the Gemara is going to say that it's almost burnt. It's charred. Yochel tzolei kol tzorkoi yehi chayiv. I may have thought that he's going to be chayiv if he eat that, because this is not called roasted on fire. This is called toasted on fire, Rashi says. It's called kli'esh, v'sorof, and burnt. This is not roasted, it's toasted or burnt, and therefore you'll be chayiv if you eat it, like you're chayiv for eating Korban Pesach, which has been processed in any way other than roasting. Talmud Leiman, no. It says in the Pasuk, Al toichlu mimenu no. You're not allowed to eat Korban Pesach if it's partially roasted. Uvoshel mevoshel b'mayim, nor are you allowed to eat the Korban Pesach that was cooked in water. No, uvoshel mevoshel amarti lecho. The Torah only says it's osa, or yuchayiv, if you eat a Korban Pesach that was either semi-roasted, partially roasted, or cooked. V'loy shetzolei kol tzorkoi. But if you roasted it to the point that it's kol tzorkoi, it's charred, that the pasuk doesn't say is osa. Says the Gemara, heichadomi. What's the situation of tzolei kol tzorkoi? We know that tzliya is roasting, and you're supposed to roast the Korban Pesach. What does a Korban Pesach look like that's been tzolei? It's called tzliya, but it's kol tzorkoi. Omer v'ashi d'shavya charucha, where it's rendered as charred, and since it's considered charred, that is called tzolei kol tzorkoi, that we thought maybe it's not called tzli'esh, it's called toasted and something else. No. The Gemara says, the Braisa says, we learn from here that only no uvoshel mevoshel is a problem, but if it's been roasted, even if it's been over-roasted, it's still, you're not chayev. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. Yochil ochal kezayis chay yehi chayev. Now what happens if you eat the Korban Pesach raw? It hasn't been roasted, but it also hasn't been cooked, and it's not partially roasted, it's not no. It's not voshel mevushel b'mayim, it's just raw. I would have thought you're chayiv. Why would we have thought you're chayiv? Because there's a mitzvah. Not only are you not allowed to eat it partially roasted or cooked, there's actually a mitzvah you have to eat it only when it's roasted. And as it says in the pasuk, "V'ochlu es habosa b'laylo azeh tzli eish," you have to eat it on the night of the 15th when it's roasted in fire. I may have thought you're going to be chayiv. Talmud Lema says in the pasuk, "No, al toichlu mimenu no uvoshel mavushel." That the only time where you're going to be chayiv is if you either ate it no, which is partially roasted, uvoshel, or if you cooked it. Omar tilcho, that's where you have the lav v'loy chay. But if you ate it raw, then you're not going to be chayiv. You're going to ask me a question that the pasuk says that al toichlu mimenu no uvoshel mavushel b'mayim kiim tzliyesh. You're only allowed to eat it roasted, and anything that's not roasted should be included in the issa of eating it kiim tzliyesh, where the pasuk says only eat it roasted in fire. So the answer is that this opinion holds that since the words ki'im tzli'esh excludes anything that's not roasted in fire, that's called a lav shebeklolus. It's a lav, it's an issa, it's telling you what you're not allowed to do, but it's not singling out, it's not specifying, don't do this specifically. It's just saying anything that's not roasting on fire is osa, and since it's not specified, it's called a lav shebeklolus, and this opinion holds that the ein loikin alav shebeklolus, you don't get malchus. It's osa, you're not allowed to eat it raw. There's a mitzvah to eat it roasted. But since it's alav shebeklolus, you don't get malchus. Yochel yehei mutar. I may have thought that it's actually mutar to eat the korban pesach raw. Talmud leimar ki'im tzli'esh. No, as we said a moment ago, the pasuk says it's a lav shebeklolus, you won't get malchus for it. But the pasuk does say the only way you're allowed to eat the korban pesach is if it's been roasted on fire. Anything else is osur, including eating it raw. Asks the Gemara, heichad domi no. We've been discussing this concept called no, which I've translated as gradually roasted. What's the definition of gradually roasted? Omar Rav, Rav says, "Kud omri parasoi." It's the stage of the roasting that the Persians call it avarnim. That stage is called no, it's called only partially roasted. Continues the Gemara. Omar of Chizda, "Hamevashil b'chamei tveria." If somebody cooks on Shabbos, now we're moving over to the halachos of Shabbos. We know that one of the lametes melachos on Shabbos is not to cook. So if somebody cooks on the fire, that's called bishul on Shabbos. What happens if he doesn't cook on the fire? He cooks in a hot spring. Hamavashel b'chamei tveria b'shabbos. If somebody cooks in a hot spring on Shabbos, potter is going to be potter. He's not allowed to do it, but he's potter. Because that's not the normal way of cooking. Pesach shebishloi b'chamei tveria. What happens if you cook a korban pesach on a hot spring, with a hot spring? Chayev. Then it's called cooking. And you're going to be chayiv, because we know that a korban pesach is not allowed to be cooked. And now the Gemara is going to discuss this. Rav Chisda just gave a statement, and we'll soon see that it's almost a contradiction. That on the one hand, cooking in hot springs on Shabbos is not considered cooking, but on korban pesach he's going to be chayiv. Asks the Gemara, "Maishno b'Shabbos deloy? Why, if somebody who cooks in a hot spring on Shabbos, is he not chayiv? The toildos eish be'inon, because it's only called bishul if you're cooking on something which is consequent to fire. Veleka, and here to hot spring, it's not being heated up with fire." Asks the Gemara, "Pesach nami lav toildos eishu? If so, regarding korban pesach, the same hot springs which are not toildos eish, they're not consequent to fire." But on Shabbos, the same as Pesach, so it's not called Bishul. If it's not called Bishul, why is he Chayev? Omar Rava, Rava says as follows, "My Chayev diktoni, this that Rav Chisda said you're Chayev, if you cook the Korban Pesach in the hot springs, it's not because of Uvoshel Mavoshel Bamaim, because it's not considered Bishul. The Ka'ova Mishum Tzli'eish, going back to what we said before, the Pasuk says that besides for the explicit and the explicit issa of eating it no, which is partially roasted, uvoshel mvoshel b'mayim, or cooked, it says ki'im tzli'esh, you're only allowed to eat it if it's roasted. on roasted on fire. So the pasuk that says it has to be roasted on fire explicitly excludes anything that's not roasted on fire, even though it's not specific what processes are included in that. We had before the chai, raw, is included in the issa of ki'im tzli'esh. Now we have chami tveria with hot springs. And so you're going to say, how can you say chayev? We just saw before that if you eat it raw, you're not chayev. And we explained the reason you're not chayev is because the issa that's learnt, that's deduced from ki'im tzli'esh, don't eat the korban pesach in any other way other than roasted on fire, is a lav shebeklolus. It's just a generalized lav, and such a lav cannot give you malchus. Over here, this opinion holds, according to Rava's explanation, Rav Chisda holds that lav shebeklolus, you do get malchus. And therefore, if you cook it on the chamei tveria, you're not chayev because of uvoshel mevoshel bamayim. Indeed, it's not called bishel, but you will be chayev because you've transgressed eating the korban pesach in anything other than tzli'esh, and you're chayev even for lav shebeklolus. Rav Chia bereder of Nosen masni lo lahod Rav Chisda behedya. He learnt this, that Rav Chisda says he learnt it explicitly. That Rav Chisda explicitly said that the reason that by Korban Pesach Yochayev is not because of Bishel, but because it's not Tzli'esh. Omer Rav Chisda, HaMevashel B'chamit Tveria B'Shabbos Potur, as we saw before. U'Pesach Shebishli B'chamit Tveria Chayev, as we saw before. But over here, we have, according to Rav Chia Bereder of Nosen, he learned this quote of Rav Chisda, and he had an extra few words. She'ovar mishum tzli'esh. That Rav Chisda himself explained the reason that if you cook a korban pesach in the hot springs, that you're chayev is not because of bishel, but because it was not eaten tzli'esh. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rava, ochloi no. If somebody ate the korban pesach when it was no, it was only partially roasted, loika shtayim, he's going to get malchus twice, because he did two averis. Which two averis did he get? One avera, the Torah says don't eat the korban pesach semi-roasted, partially roasted. But the Torah also said only eat the korban pesach when it's tzli'esh, when it's roasted on fire, properly roasted. And we said that that lav excludes eating it in any way which is not tzli'esh. So that's two averis. It's two times that the pasuk says don't eat it partially roasted. So you get twice malchus. Muvushel, if you ate the korban pesach cooked, loikash taim, you'll also be chayev too. You're going to be chayev once for eating the korban pesach, having transgressed uvoshel muvushel bamayim, and the second time having transgressed the part of the pasuk that says ki'im tzli'esh. No umuvushel, if you cooked the korban pesach and you partially roasted it, so you have now, you've transgressed both issues, and you've transgressed the issa of eating the korban pesach not in the state of tzli'esh, you have three loika sholish. That was the opinion of Rava. Abaya Omar. Abaya says, ein loika alav shebeklolus. As we said before, we had such an opinion that alav shebeklolus, a generalized lav, in this case, ki im tzli'esh, where the Torah says, don't eat it in any way other than roasted on fire, you don't get malchus. Now, in Abaya, there's two ways of understanding that. Does that mean you don't get malchus when you have another lav? For example, no, where we said you have the issa of no, and you have the issa of kiyem tzli'esh. So Rava says you're chayev two, and Abaya will say no, you're only chayev one. You're not going to be chayev on lav shebeklolus if you have a regular lav. But what happens if you don't have a regular lav? What happens if it wasn't no, and it wasn't muvushel? For example, he cooked it in the hot springs. He cooked the korban pesach in hot springs. It's not no, it's not mevushel, as we saw before. So maybe there, Abaye will agree that since I don't have an explicit lav, you will get malchus from the generalized lav. And that's going to be two opinions in the Gemara. Ikka d'omra, some say, tarti hu d'lei loki, you won't get malchus twice, also for an explicit lav and also for a generalized lav, chodom mihaloki. However, in the event that the only lav you have is the generalized lav, for example, the hot springs, then you will get malchus. Ikka d'omra, others say no, chodinami, even in the case where the only lav that would be applicable is the generalized one, loy loki, you will not get malchus, de loy miyached lave, because the lav that we're talking about is not a specific lav, and where the Torah says that if you transgress a lav, you chayv malchus, immediately afterwards the Torah says that whilst an animal is thrashing, you're not allowed to muzzle the mouth of the animal. And the Gemara elsewhere asks, why does the Torah explicitly write next to this din that somebody who transgresses a lav gets malchus? Why does the Torah write chasima, the halacha of muzzling an animal, to teach us that you only ever chayv malchus when it's similar to the lav of chasima, of muzzling? And in the same way as by chasima it says explicitly the lav, it's not a generalized lav, so too, according to this opinion, you will never get malchus on a generalized lav. Because a generalized lav is not a specific lav, and therefore is not similar to the lav of muzzling an animal, and therefore you're not going to be chayv. That was two opinions in Abaya. And a similar thing we're now going to find in another instance. Rava Omar. What happens? We know that a nozir is not allowed to drink, is not allowed to consume anything that comes from grapes. Not the grapes, not the juice of the grapes, not the seeds of the grapes, not the peels of the grapes, and not the leaves of the vine. All that is also for a nozer. And let's read the pasuk inside. The pasuk writes in Parashas Nosoi, Kol yemei nizrei, all the days of the nazirus, Mikoila sheye oser, anything that's made or that comes from migefen hayayin, from a grapevine, mecharzanim v'adzog, from the pips to the skins, lo yoichil, the nozer is not allowed to eat it. That's what it says in the posuk. So we also have here a general lav where it says, mikoila sheye oser migefen hayayin, anything that comes from the grapevine. And then the pasuk singles out and specifies mecharzanim v'adzog, from the pips, from the seeds to the skins. Says Rava Omar, ochal zog, if somebody ate the zog, the skins of the grapes, loikashtaim, is going to be chayev twice. Rava says loiken alav shebeklalus, as we saw before, and therefore you've got also he ate zog, and also he ate something that came from a grapevine. Charzon, if you ate the seeds, loikashtaim, is going to be chayev two, twice. Zog v'charzon, if he ate also zog, also charzon, loikasholish, he'll be chayev for three, he'll be chayev for mikoila sheyose migefen ayayin, he's going to be chayev for charzanim, micharzanim, and chayev for va'ad zog. Abaya Omar, no. Abaya says, ein loiken alav shebeklolus, that you don't get malchus for a generalized lav. And here too, we have the two opinions, the two versions in Abaya. Ikka da'omra tarati hu deloi loki. Abaya only holds that you don't get malchus for lav shebeklolus in the presence of a specific lav. For example, if you ate either charzanim or zog. Chodom mihas loki. But according to this opinion, in the event that the only lav he has transgressed is the generalized one, for example, eats from the leaves of the vine. That's not charzanim, it's not zog. The only thing he's transgressed is mikoila sheyose migefen ayayin. Maybe he'll be chayiv, even though it's a generalized lav, it's lav shebeklolus. Ikud omra, others say no. Chodonami loiloki, you won't even get malchus if the only one that he would get malchus for is the generalized lav. You never get malchus and lav shebeklolus. Doloi miyachid lavi, because it's not a specific lav, kelav de chasima, like the explicit lav that's written by the Issa of muzzling an animal whilst threshing, which is specified in the pasuk immediately after the parasha that teaches us about malchus. Continues the Gemara. Tonu Rabbonon. Ochal kezayis no. Now we're going to discuss when the Issa applies of eating no. When the Pasuk says that if you eat, it's an Avera to eat the Korban Pesach when it's only partially roasted. The question is, when is that true? Is that true even if you eat the Korban Pesach on the 14th? Because we know the Korban Pesach was shechted on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. And then it was roasted, and in the evening, on the night of the 15th, there's a mitzvah that says, "V'ochlus abosa b'layla azet slieishu matzis al mreirim yichlu." You have to eat the korban pesach on the night of the 15th. You have to eat it b'layla azet. You have to eat it roasted. The question is, when will you get malchus for eating the Korban Pesach when it's not, when it's only semi-roasted? Is it only on the 14th, only on the 15th? Both maybe. Let's have a look. Tanu Rabbanan, ochal kazayis no mib'oid yoyim. If you ate a kazayis of the Korban Pesach when it was in a no state, it was only partially roasted, but you didn't eat it that way on the 15th, you ate it on the 14th, Potter will soon see why, but you're not going to get malchus. Kazayis no mishechasheicho, if you eat a kazayis of the Korban Pesach in a no state in the night of the 15th, that's when you're going to be chayev. Ochal kazayis tzli, this is another aloch in the same brisa. Ochal kazayis tzli mib'oid yoyim. We know that you're only allowed to eat the Korban Pesach tzli, and we know that you have to eat it tzli on the night of the 15th. And later in the Gemara, we're going to learn that it's an avera, it's also to eat the Korban Pesach roasted tzli on the 14th. So since eating tzli on the 14th is contrary to the rules of Korban Pesach, so the Braisa says, if somebody did eat a kazayis of the Korban Pesach tzli mib'oid yoyim, lo'y posal atzmoy b'bnei chabura. We know there's a halacha that every person has to be part of a group. He has to be a member of a group that's been the list has been made even before the Korban Pesach was made, then we knew exactly who was going to be part of the group that was going to eat this Korban Pesach. And within one group, they could split up. But once, wherever you ate the Korban Pesach, the first kazayis, you're not allowed to, even within the same group, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach elsewhere, in another place. The question is, if I ate Korban Pesach in the day of the 15th, which is which is too early, you're not supposed to eat Korban Pesach in the day of the 14th, does that mean I cannot eat it again in the 15th at night because it's a different place? Says the Braisa, no. Ochal kazayis tzli mib'oid yoyim, lo'y posal atzmoy b'mnei chabura, he's not disqualified himself from eating with his group on the night of the 15th. Kazayis tzli mishechasheicho, however, if he eats a kazayis of the Korban Pesach that was roasted, seems that nothing's wrong. But once you've eaten, after it's ready nightfall, after it's the 15th, you've eaten a kazayis of tzli, posal atzmoy b'mnei chabura, you're no longer allowed to eat from this Korban Pesach in any other place, even if it's within your group. Tanya Idach, we learned another braisa. Yochel, I may have thought that ochel kazayis no mib'oid yoyim, if you eat Korban Pesach in the day of the 14th, yehi chayev, you'll be chayev, and the issa that says in the posuk of al toichlu mimenu no also applies on the day of the 14th. And the reasoning behind that would be v'dinhu, there's a logic behind it. Uma b'shor sheyeshnoi b'kum echol tzli. If in the night of the 15th, where there's a mitzvah to eat the korban roasted, yeshnoi b'bal toichal no, the pasuk says don't eat it if it's just partially roasted, b'shor sheyeshnoi b'kum echol tzli, then in the day where there's no mitzvah whatsoever to eat the Korban Pesach roasted, then of course you're not allowed to eat it when it's just semi-roasted, when it's semi-roasted. That would be the logic to this halacha. It's a yochil, we're soon going to refute it. But there is a logic to this understanding that you'll be chayav for no also in the night of the 15th and also in the day of the 14th. Oi, loi, maybe there's another set of halachas that we could learn, different, that b'shor she einoi b'kum achol tzli, yeshnoi b'bal toichal no. You're only going to get malchus for eating no, is in a time where there's no mitzvah to eat a roasted Korban Pesach. But b'shor she yeshnoi b'kum achol tzli, but the night of the 15th, where there's a mitzvah to eat the animal tzli, einoi b'bal toichal no. Then you will not get malchus, there's no avera of eating the Korban Pesach semi-roasted. And don't wonder about this, that how can it be that on the day of the 14th, if you eat it, no, you're chayev, where did that issa disappear to at the night of the 15th? Says the Gemara, no, don't wonder about that. Shari hutur michloloi eitzel tzli, because there's an avera to eat the Korban Pesach roasted on the day of the 14th. It says in the pasuk, "V'ochlu es abosa b'laylo azet tzli." You're only allowed to eat the tzli in the night, not in the day. What happened to that issa when it came to the night? It vanished. It's only osa in the day. The same might apply with no. that you're only going to be osa if you eat it in the day, and at night that issa is going to disappear? Talmud Loima, says the Braisa, no. The halacha is not like the first option that we had, that you chayev for no if you eat it on the 14th or the 15th. And not like the second understanding, that you chayev on the 14th and not chayev on the 15th. Rather, we learn out from the pasuk Talmud Loimar, al toichlu mimenu no uvoshel mavushel b'mayim ki'im tzli'esh, that the Torah puts together the issa of eating no together with the requirement of eating it tzli'esh. She'ein Talmud Loimar ki'im tzli'esh, I don't need the words of ki'im tzli'esh, this generalized condition, only Korban Pesach in its roasted state. I don't need that. We already says in another pasuk, Va'ochlas aboso balaylo azeh tzli'esh. Uma Talmud loyma ki'im tzli'esh. What's the pasuk coming to teach us? Ki'im tzli'esh. Loyma lechot to teach us that b'shor sheyeshni b'kumachil tzli, yeshni b'bal toichal no. The only time that you're going to be chayav for eating a Korban Pesach no is at the time where you're required to eat it, when it's roasted, and that's in the night of the 15th. But on the day of the 14th, where there's no mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach roasted. You're not included in the issa of eating the Korban Pesach when it's semi-roasted. Continues the Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Ekra ano boshil. The pasuk could have said, Uboshil, al toichlu menu no, uboshil b'mayim. Ma Talmud loy ma mvushil. Why do I need the added word uvoshel muvushel? Sheyochel, I may have thought only elo shebishle mishechasheicha. That I may have thought that you only chayev if you cooked it after it's the night of the 15th. But bishle miboidyoim. But if you cooked the korban pesach when it was still the 14th minayin, how do you know that that's aser? Talmud loima. That's why I have an extra word uvoshel muvushel. Any time you cook it, mikol mokim. Any time you cook it, it's aser. Ask the Gemara, V'hai uvoshel mevushel afki Rebbe litzli kador ulashar mashkin. We saw on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, we saw earlier on that Rebbe says, I need uvoshel mevushel to teach us that even if you cook it in something that's not water and not other juices, but in its own juices, that it's also asa. So how can you say now that you learn from uvoshel mevushel even if you cook it on the day of the 14th? Answers the Gemara, Im kein le mekra, oi boshil voshil, oi mevushel mevushel. Because we have two issues here. Number one, we have the double term. I don't need it to say a double loshen. You could have just said it once. And now that you have a double loshen, why is it a different loshen? Uvoshil mevushel. Say two the same. So you can learn out two things from here. One, bishel b'kli kador, b'tzli kador. And the other one, that even if it was nizbashil on the day of the 14th. My voshil mevushel, shomen is minotarati. We can learn from here two things. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon. Ochal tzli mib oidyoim. If you ate the Korban Pesach roasted, that was fine. But you ate it in the day of the 14th, not the night of the 15th. Chayev is going to be chayev. Kezayis no mishechashecho. If you eat a kezayis of no in the night of the 15th, as we've seen in two brises already, you're also going to be chayev. And now the Gemara is saying, from the fact that the brisa put these two alochas together, eat the chiyuv for eating korban pesach tzli in the day, and the chiyuv of eating no at night, k'toni tzli dumyo dano. There's something similar, there must be some similarity between the roasting and the no, which is partially roasted. Ma no belav, in the same way as if you eat it no, there's a lav in the pasuk that says, al toichlu mimenu no, then so too, af tzli belav, if you eat tzli in the day, you're also going to be chiyav alav, and you're going to get malchus. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. It's very nice that you're learning it from a comparison, some similarity in the brisa, but you need a pasuk to make alav. Bishleim no, we're talking about the issa of eating korban pesach no. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, al toichlu mimenu no. Elo tzli minolon, where do you have a lav in the Torah that says that you're not allowed to, that if you eat tzli in the day, you're chayev? Says the Gemara Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'ochlu es abosor balaylo azeh, tzli eish. And the Pasuk, tzli eish, umatzu is al mererim yoichluhu. So from there you see, balaylo in, that from the fact that the Torah says you have to eat the Korban Pesach roasted at night, we see that by night, yes, but not in the day. Asks the Gemara, Hai lav habo michlal asehu. That's not a lav. A lav means don't do. This is not an instruction, don't do. This is an instruction, what you should do. Eat it in the night when it's sleep. And just we can deduce from that asay, we know what not to do and when not to do. That's called a lav habo michlal asay. It's something we know not to do, but that's deduced from an asay. That's an assay, that's not a lav. How can you get malchus for that? V'chol lav abo mechlal assay. Assay, the status of a lav abo mechlal assay is similar to an assay, and there's no malchus for that. You're not going to be chayev. Omar of Chizdo, homan y Rabbi Yehuda hi. This braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda says that this posuk actually contains a lav. Well, we can't see a lav. It doesn't say anywhere loy. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say anywhere what not to do. It just says what you should do. The Tanya we learnt in a brisa. Shoyer v'seh, the posuk says, if you have a bull, v'seh, or a sheep, sorua, that one of its organs is larger than another. For example, one of his eyes is larger than the other eye. V'kolut, or if its hooves are not split, Nadova tase oisoi, you're allowed to make it hektish for the Beis HaMikdash as a nadova, which means that its money can be used for upholding the Bedek HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash. Ule neder lo yirotze, but you should not make it, you're not allowed to make it into a korban to be put onto the Mizbeach. Oisoi, and so what do we learn from there? That nadova tase oisoi, oisoi atomatfis lebedek habayis. You learn from there that only, since there's an assay that says you're allowed to make such an animal, which is sarua v'kolot, you're allowed to make it a nadova, which means you're allowed to make it hekdesh lebedek habayis. That, from there, that only this type of animal you're allowed to make hekdesh lebedek habayis. V'iyato matfis tmimim, but in the event that it's an unblemished animal, where there's nothing wrong with the animal, you're not allowed to make it hekdesh lebedek habayis. You're only ever allowed to make it hekdesh for a korban. Mikan omru. And from here says the braisa, that kol matfis tmimim lebedek habayis oivur ba'asei. That if somebody is going to make a tmimim, an animal that's not got these blemishes, and is going to make them into a nedova, into bedek habayis, into something that's hekdesh, that's only going to be used, that the money can be used for the uphold of the Beis HaMikdash, not for a korban itself, he's transgressed this assay. What's the assay? The assay is that make blemished animals, a sarua v'kolot, make that nedova. How do you know that if you make another animal, an unblemished animal, and you make it hektish for bedek habayis and a dova, how do we know that you actually have a lav as well? Talmud Loma, it says in the Pasuk, and this is a Pasuk a few psukim earlier, it says, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, a very, very common Pasuk. And what do we see from the word Leimor? Limeid al kol parasha kulosh yehi beloisase. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that whenever a parasha starts with leimoyer, then whatever is in that parasha, even if it's an asay or a lav habo michlal asay, then that lav habo michlal asay has the status of a loisase. And over here also by Korban Pesach, it says in the pasuk vayomer Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron leimoyer. From the fact that it says leimoyer, there's a new concept. Lav habo michlal leimoyer. So Rashi's got an interesting term. Lav habo michlal leimoyer. If it says leimoyer, a lav in that parasha is actually considered a lav. Even if it's not an explicit lav, it's a lav habo michlal asay. It's a lav that's only deduced from an asay. And therefore, coming back to our Gemara here, if somebody eats a Korban Pesach that's roasted on the day of the 14th, even though it's a lav habo michlal asay, because it only says in the pasuk you should eat the Korban Pesach tzli in the night, since it says leimur, it turns it into a lav. And the Gemara is going to explain. Omar le Rebbe le Bar Kapora. My mashma, Rebbe said to Bar Kapora, where do you see in the word leimur that something becomes a lav? Since it says leimur, the word leimur can be broken up into loy nemar bidvorim, that the things, the halachas that are learned in this parasha are in the category of loy, which means a lav. Beirav omri, In the Beis Medrash of Rav, they explained it a little bit different, that Lemoir means love Emoir. You're telling them a love. So either however you learn it, whether you're learning it like Bar Kapora or like Beirav, from the word Lemoir, you see that the Isurim that are learned from the parasha, even though it's a love about Mechlal Asei, we learn that they have the status of a love, and you can get Malkus for them. Continues the Gemara. Meitash Mishay Shel Nachtoim, we saw in the Mishnah that the water that was used to cool down the hands of the bakers, they could become chometz and they have to be spilt out. Yishavchim Mipnei Shein Machmitzim. Says the Gemara, Toni Chod, in one brisa we learned, Shavchim B'mokim Madrin, you should spill it in an inclined surface so it should roll away. And it shouldn't gather. Ve'en sheivchim b'mokim ashboiron, but in a flat, uneven surface, you should not pour it because it's going to collect there. And if the water collects there, it will become chometz. Ve'tanya idoch, in another brisa we learned, sheivchim b'mokim ashboiron, you can even pour this water into a place which is uneven, a level but uneven place, and even though the water is not going to roll away, it's going to become chometz. We have a contradiction in the brisas. Says the Gemara, Lo Kashi, it's not a contradiction. Hod nefisha, when we're talking about that you have a lot of such water, dekovu, when you're going to spill it on this ashboiren, then it's going to be collected. The water's going to be collected because it's not so even. And if the water's going to collect itself, it's going to become chometz. Hod lo nefishi, but the brisa that says you are allowed to pour it in a place of ashboiren is where there's not a lot of water. Delo yikovu, that even if you spill it in this area, the water is not actually going to collect. It's just going to move away and get absorbed, and it's not going to collect, and therefore it will not become chometz. Continues the Gemara, another halacha, Omer of Yehuda, Isha lo yitolush, a woman should not knead the dough of the matzahs, elo b'mayim shelonu. Now, this is what Rav Yehuda said. He was giving a drasha, and he said that it has to be mayim, which is lonu, which means it has to have slept overnight, because typically in this time of the year, the Nisan time of the year, the spring waters are not so cold, and we don't want to make the matzahs with warm water, as we've seen previously, and therefore wait overnight, let the water cool down, and then use it. Dorosha Rav Masna b'Pupanya. Rav Masna, in the place of Pupanya, said this drasha, and he was saying the drasha in Loshen HaKodesh. In Loshen HaKodesh, the word lonu, what does it mean? It means our water. And he said this drasha, that the woman should not need the matzahs only with our water. Lemachar Aisu Kule Alma. The next day, all the people of Pupunya came, and Aisu Kule Alma Chatzvayu, they brought their pitchers, Va'osu Lekabe, they came to Rav Masna and said, Rabbi, you said in the drasha in the shul yesterday that we can only use Maim Shalonu, our water, we're coming to take your water. Omrule, they said to them, no, Omrule Havlon Maya. So, and these people said to Rav Masna, give us water. Omar Lur, Rav Masna said to these people, I used the word lonu, but that was in Loshna Kodesh. And I didn't mean lonu as in ours. I meant shelonu, ano b'mayo debisu omri. What I meant was lonu, that they slept, which is also a term of lina. It slept overnight, which in Targum, in the language you people in Pupunya understand better, it's debisu. They slept. We need waters that slept overnight and not our water, because there's no value in taking the rabbi's water. There's no particular water that you have to take his water. That was the mistake they made in Pupunya. And it's amazing the Munas Chachomim they had. The Rav says a halacha, they didn't understand it, didn't make sense, and they still came and said, if that's what the Rav says, that's what we do. The Avnei Nezer brings from here a tremendous lesson in Emunas Chachomim. Continues the Gemara, Dorash Rava, Isha lo yitolush b'chama, a woman should not need the matzahs whilst in the sun, because the sun is going to heat up the dough and it will become chometz quicker. V'loy b'chamei chama, nor should one use water that's been heated in the sun, and even more so, not with water that's been actually cooked on fire, on a flame. V'loy b'mayim ha'grufin min ha'mulayr. A mulayr was this big copper vessel that used to be hanging over the fireplace, and even if the fire was not on and it was not hot, but since the copper would contain the heat, the water that would collect, that would be drained at the bottom of this mulayr, would always be somewhat warm. It would not be cold water, and therefore one should not use this water for kneading the matzahs. V'loy tagbia yodim in a tanur. She should not, whilst preparing the matzahs for baking, she should not leave them alone. She should just constantly be working on the matzahs. Acha tigmoir es kol apas, until she's finished baking all the matzahs. V'tzorich shnei kelim, and she should have two different vessels of cold water next to her. Echot shemaktefes boy. We know that sometimes they used to take some water and sprinkle it over the matzahs while they were preparing the matzahs. She should take one bowl of water where she's taking water from there to sprinkle on the matzahs. V'achas shemetzanin es boyes yodel, and a different bowl where she cools down her hands. We mentioned this before, that the bakers would cool down their hands, and since the water that she's using to cool down the hands would typically is getting warmed up by her hands, and therefore the ones should not use that water which is not cold to sprinkle on top of the matzahs. What happens if a woman made matzahs with warm water? She wasn't allowed to. That makes the matzahs become chometz quicker. She made sure it didn't become chometz, or we can see it didn't become chometz. Marzutra Omar Mutar. Marzutra says, okay, if it didn't become chometz, she did something wrong, but the matzahs are mutar. Ravashi Omar Osar. Ravashi said, no, since she was not allowed to use this water, she used this water, the matzahs are osar. Omar Marzutra. Minoa Minolor. Marzutra says, I'll bring you proof to what I'm saying, that you're allowed to use the matzahs even though she did something she wasn't allowed to do. Diltani, we learned in a brisa. We saw this on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. Ein loisasina sa'irin bepesach. One's not allowed to soak the grains of barley on Pesach. Ve'im losis, if you did soak them. Nizbaku, if the grains became split because they became soaked and bloated with they blown up with the water, asurim, then they're asa. Lo nizbaku mutarin. But if they did not start cracking, then it's muta. So what do you see from there? Even though the halacha is ein loisus, and you're not allowed to do that, if you did it, nonetheless, it's mutarin, providing they didn't start cracking. But if they didn't start cracking, even though they did something wrong, it was mutar. Says Mansutra, the same will apply here. She wasn't allowed to use warm water, but if she used it, and it's not chometz, it's mutar. Ravashi, Omar Ravashi says, Otu kulhu, are all the isurim derabonon, chode, mechita, machtinu, were they all woven with a single weave? They're all the same? Heichad Itmar, Itmar, where it says explicitly that even though they did something wrong, we don't give them a knas, we don't give them a penalty, and we allow them to use it, as in the case of soaking the grains of barley, that's where they said it. Heichad Lo Itmar, but in the case where they used the warm water, and it doesn't say explicitly that if they use the warm water, you're allowed to eat the matzahs, Lo Itmar, in that case it doesn't say it, and it could well be you're not allowed to use them, and Ravashi says you're not allowed to use those matzahs. And Rashi points out that we've seen previously that you're allowed to eat matzah on Pesach that was made of the dough that was bought from the goyim, b'tzeiko yishel nochrim, and they have no halachas of how to do the kneading. They knead however they want. We can see it's not chometz, but in the same way as it's mutter to make matzah from bread that was kneaded, from dough that was kneaded by the goyim, why should it be different here? So Rashi asks that and says they were goyim, they didn't do any isurim, they didn't do an avera. And therefore, we are allowed, if it's not chometz, you can use it. However, here, this person has the halacha, don't need the matzahs with warm water, and you did. And therefore, Ravashi says, it's asa. Hadron halach kol shah. B'se'ata d'shmai, we finished learning perek kol shah. Mirtz Hashem will do chazor on perek kol shah. And in the next year, we're going to start the next perek, perek ve'elu oivrin.